Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, helping you to start or grow your very own business. Happy Monday, everyone. This is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, August 12, 2013. And as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a success. Well, I hope that you all had a prosperous and an abundant and a productive weekend. That's right. I hope this was a powerful weekend this past weekend for you. I certainly have been doing a lot of what I call business soul searching and making sure that I am on target with my goals for the year. As you know, this is August indeed, and can you believe it? We are past the six-month mark, and coming up on the holiday season is moving pretty quickly. So stay tuned, because we're going to be giving you, over this next month, we're going to be giving you information on preparing your business to market for the holiday season. Again, I want to thank all of you who have tuned in to the Successful Woman Radio Show. We've got some great information to share with you today. First of all, our theme during the month of August is pretty much all about the internet. That's right, it is becoming internet savvy, and that is knowing what you need to know all about the internet, from search engine optimization and developing your website, to social networking, to attracting more visitors, to building your list. It is all about the internet this month of August. And that's very, very important, because as we are over the hump of our six-month mark of the year, it's so important for us to start thinking about and asking ourselves the question, really, are we on target with our business strategy? You see, if you have not figured out what your goals should be for the rest of this year, if you haven't figured out what your sales goals should be, how much money you want to see from a profit standpoint, and what you're going to be doing to market in attracting potential customers and clients, then now is the time to do it. And there should be no procrastination in it, because we have a little less than 6 months to go. And like all women, you want to see some results, right? You want to feel accomplished, and you want to know that your business idea, what you thought about, how you envisioned yourself as a businesswoman, has not been in vain, but that you are working hard and striving towards business success. And that's what it is all about. So I think it's very, very important as we move towards the, you know, the end of the year, that we stay focused on our goals and know what it is that we should be doing. Now, we have a very hot topic today, and it is your social networking working? You know, there are so many expectations that so many small business owners, home-based businesses, and micro businesses have about social networking. And I often ask myself the question, do they really know what is involved in the process of utilizing social networking? Because I continue to see, you know, so many people on Facebook, for example, you know, just posting, you know, a lot of different things, everything from information about their family, their kids, what have you. I see so many people posting that type of information, and then somewhere in the midst of all of their posts, I'll see one little line about their business, or I'll see what I call the pink plaid jacket pitch, and that is where someone is just, you know, coming right out and say, buy this product or buy this service. And so it leads me to believe that, for the most part, that as business women, we still are not up to par and still don't understand social networking. So the hot topic today is going to be all about, is your social networking working? In other words, are you seeing results? Or have you even created a strategy to know what the results should be? You see, social networking continues to take the internet by storm, but how can a small business owner use it to attract new clients or customers? Well, stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about that and more, and we're going to be discussing this technique of networking online just a little bit later on. So it's a good time to locate your Successful Woman Radio Journal or your notepad, because you're going to get information today that you can put to use right away. Again, for those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to Successful Woman Radio, and I'm Trina Newby, your host and business success coach. Well, last week I read an excerpt from the book, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, and I discussed with you from that expert three important roles to be played in a company, which were laborer, manager, and entrepreneur. So today, as I share, you know, with you earlier, that we're definitely over the 6 month mark, and we're going to be talking about, you know, developing your business through the internet and business strategy, I thought it would be very fitting to share information with you on something that Michael calls the franchise system. And of course, it's all about how to structure and organize your business. So this particular system is really what he credits for small businesses changing and really beginning to grow. And I thought I would like to share it with you, because a lot of the times a home-based business owner or a micro business owner, they will feel like they shouldn't, you know, organize or systematize themselves in such a way because they're too small. But that's where the problem is that most small business owners, when they start out, they're in this mode of thinking that they are too small. And as a result, when you think you're too small, you indeed think small, right? And you don't make the necessary changes you need to create what I would consider a big business, a thriving business, a business that is successful, that is marketing, that has customers and clients. You don't think of yourself in that way. And that is where the problem is. That's exactly where it is that as business women, oftentimes we hold on so tight to the business, just like we would a baby. And we've created the business, but we're working in the business instead of working on the business. And we aren't thinking of ourselves as a CEO. And that's what I want you to understand as I read this excerpt to you a little bit later today, is that it doesn't matter how large or how small your business is. What matters is what you think about your business, how you are working on your business, and if you have set your business up for success. You know, there are so many small businesses being started every single day. As a matter of fact, you can have two hamburger restaurants starting at the exact same time. One could be so successful, just bursting with customers lining up out of the door, and a second one doing the exact type of business, you know, everything in place except for something is missing, is not making any money at all, rarely any customers are visiting. And so what you need to understand is that while choosing a business idea is important, and while looking at what the demand is right now is important before you really leap and start up your business, it's even more important to realize that the most important thing in a business is its creator, is its owner. You give your business life, you give your business vision and directions and strategy. You are the most important thing in your business. So if you're confused about your role as a business owner, if you're confused about who you are, your business is going to seem just as confused, okay? And people are going to perceive that, and you're not going to have the customers that you need. So this is why it is so important to have what I call high business self-esteem. That means that you have such self-esteem for your business that it is structured, that it is organized, and you are clear on your role as the CEO of your company. Now, for those of you that were listening on last week, Monday, August 5th, I talked about how important it was for you, the businesswoman, to go ahead and write a job description for yourself as CEO of your company. Now, why is that so important? Well, it's important for several reasons, but the first and number one reason that it's important is for clarity. You're your own boss, but who's guiding you? Who's telling you what you need to be doing? And so you need to have a job description as well. And then you need to not only have a written job description, but you need to be following the description. You need to be taking it to heart, and you need to be functioning in your capacity as the CEO of your company. And so I want to encourage you that if you have not already, I want to encourage you to go ahead and write a job description for yourself as the CEO of your company. What should you be doing as the CEO? What should your daily tasks be doing? What should you be doing from delegating and following through? What should you be doing in visualizing new techniques, new products, new services for your company? What should you be doing financial-wise? That is something that you have to figure out as the CEO of your company. And I don't care if it's just you at a table in your kitchen, you are still the CEO of your company. And if you're expecting your business to grow, then the first thing that must happen is that you must, you know, shape it up. You must shape yourself up, and you must get into gear and become the CEO that your business deserves. It is 11 minutes after the hour, and for those of you that have just joined us, you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. Ladies, now is a very good time to go ahead and flash over to a new phone line, or if you are listening from the convenience of your smart device or your computer desktop, go ahead and shout out that Successful Woman Radio is live on the air now. If you're flashing over to another line and have a pen and notepad handy, have them to dial into, here's the number, 347-637-2589. Again, 347-637-2589. It is so helpful when you all shout out that Successful Woman Radio is live and on the air. You know, there are a lot of women out there who don't know about the show, and we depend on you, the listener, to let other people know, to share with other people that this is a show that's all about helping women to become more successful, both in their personal lives and in their business lives as well. It's about motivating you every week. It's about keeping you focused on what's important. And if you want to be successful in business, it is all about giving you tools and resources that you're going to be able to put to use right away. But with getting all of this great information, it's important that you share it with other people, that you bless the lives of other women who are looking for this type of information as well. So I appreciate it so much, and thank you so much in advance for the blessing of you sharing Successful Woman Radio with others. Again, the dial-in number is 347-637-2589. At this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you a very, very important question. And for those of you who have been longtime listeners, you know what that question is. That's right. Have you been practicing the one-hour gift, right? Well, what is the one-hour gift? For those of you who are new, the one-hour gift is giving yourself at least 1 hour of personal time to look at how your day will be successful. Again, is giving yourself at least 1 hour of personal time to look at how your day will be successful. And there are 5 important questions that I suggest that you ask yourself every single day. And trust me, you are going to have different responses almost every day that you ask yourself these questions. But why are these questions so very important? Well, I continue to get emails from you, our listeners, telling me that these questions are really helping you. It's helping you to gain clarity. It's helping you to better understand who you are and what you want for your life and for your business. And so that is why I created the questions for myself as well. It was to help me keep focused on what mattered most. So for those of you who are new to the show, here are the questions, the five questions as a part of the one-hour gift. Number one, what results would I like to see in my life and business today? Well, this question varies, okay, because every single day is a new day, and so you're going to want to see different results a lot of the time every single day. But one thing that I would like to bring up about this question, and that is if you still find yourself getting a little bit confused about answering this question, are you find yourself kind of stuck in a deep meditation on it and not quite sure how to answer it, sometimes it might be that you really have not visited what your overall vision is. And because of that, you're kind of stuck on why am I here and what am I doing all of this for and what do I really want to see in my life and business today? I really don't know. Well, saying I don't know is okay because it's the first step to really admitting that you're in a space where you need to discover exactly what it is that you want in life and what it is that you would like to see in your business, okay? But if you do this too much, if you find yourself stuck too much, then what I would suggest that you do is that you go ahead and you really start working on your overall vision, which is what is it that you want to experience within some particular time frame, okay? Because oftentimes I find that when you are stuck on this question and you're not quite sure, it simply means that you're not sure about your life vision or your business vision, okay? Number two, have I reviewed my calendar and schedule today? So very, very important. Today when I woke up, I felt a little bit disjointed, disconnected, and I was thinking about things that I needed to get done today, and so the first thing that I did was I picked up my phone so I could review my calendar, and as soon as I started reviewing my calendar, things felt better, I felt more in control, and I started having a better perspective of what it is that was important for me today, and it actually helped me to go back and answer number one, the question number one, a lot better. So again, this is an important thing that you need to take action on, and again, I find that it is the most simple of things, of life's tasks that become the most complex. And so it is with reviewing your calendar and your schedule, okay? So don't feel silly just because you have forgotten to review your calendar several days in a row. This is something that a lot of women share with me, but you know that you need to tighten it up and that you need to develop a good habit of doing it, right? Moving on to number three. Are my business activities on the schedule contributing to my goals for the week? I want to address this particular question or talk about this question a little bit. You know, I have had a lot of people to email me and say, you're absolutely right, Trina, just because you have a lot of appointments on your calendar or a lot of to-do items scheduled in a time slot, it can give you a false sense that you're accomplished, that you are doing something. But I want you to be very aware of something, and that is a packed schedule does not mean productivity. A packed schedule does not mean that you're getting things done, okay? And so those of you who have been emailing me and really giving me a small testimony on the fact that I'm right about this, I want to let you know that I know I'm right because I've experienced it firsthand. I know what it's like to buy a beautiful day timer or planner and, you know, schedule everything out. It's nicely written and it looks like I'm in control and in charge, but nothing is getting accomplished. That's because there's a difference between a packed schedule and a schedule that is relevant to what it is that you want to accomplish. So I want to encourage you, as you prepare your calendar for the week and you review it, make sure that the activities you have listed are actually to-do items that are contributing towards you accomplishing your goals for the week. Very, very important. Number four, who do I need to follow up with today? Well, you always, as the CEO of your company, you'll need to follow up with someone. If you don't have anyone you need to follow up with, it means that you're not doing your job as the CEO of your company, okay? It means that you're not actively marketing. It means that that you're not sending out information every day about your business and what you have to offer. So every single day, you should be following up on something, okay? Number five. What results have I seen in my marketing today? And here's just a special message to all of my longtime listeners. Now, you ladies know that I have been reading the five questions to ask yourself daily every Monday since January, right? Now, if you have been participating in this exercise pretty much every day or frequently, and you've been asking yourself, what results have I seen in my marketing? And every time your question has been no results or very little results, then I want you to get very, very serious and listen to me right now. It doesn't make sense to continuously answer this question with a I don't know or with very little results or no results and not do anything about it. Okay, it's really being a lazy CEO. And I'm very serious about this because marketing is the cornerstone of your business. Okay, no marketing, no business. It's as simple as that. Marketing is the system of attracting individuals to what you have to offer by what you say, how you display it, and the various techniques you are using. So if you aren't getting people to call you or people to respond, it just simply means that you don't have the right marketing recipe. But to continuously ask yourself this question and not get closer to the answer of what you need to do to improve it, it means that you're being a lazy CEO. And there's no place for a lazy CEO in a successful company, right? Absolutely. And so I want you ladies today to not promise me, but to promise yourselves that you are going to get aggressive in developing a marketing strategy. And you're going to get aggressive in throwing out the marketing strategies that's not working for you and adopting marketing strategies that will work for you. That's so very, very important. So there you have it. The one-hour gift, five questions to ask yourself daily, and I hope that these questions will bless you as much as they are continually blessing me every single day. It is 12:23 after the hour, and for those of you that have just tuned in, you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show, and this is Trina Newby, your business success coach. Well, I promised you another book excerpt from the book, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. For those of you that are new to the E-Myth, this book has been just such a phenomenon in the small business industry, probably because Michael Gerber, the author, failed several times before really nailing a system that would work and he did that because he had a deep-rooted desire to be successful. If you delve into the history and the past of Michael Gerber, you will learn that he was homeless just about. He was not successful for a very long time. He lost his family because he wanted to be a successful business owner so badly. And not a lot of things worked for him. And he couldn't understand, well, why is it that I'm not successful? I have the desire. I have great ideas. And finally, through his deep-rooted desire, his persistence, he finally figured it out. It has everything to do with you being a really, really structured CEO for your company. And last week, I read information about the three most important roles, laborer, technician, manager, and the entrepreneur, visionary, which are the three roles that are so important to play in a company. And even if you are a solo business owner and you don't have employees or contractors to delegate to, you have to play all three of those roles until you are able to relinquish those roles to individuals. So just because it's only one of you, it doesn't negate the fact that you are still supposed to play those roles and make sure that those roles are carried out in your company. Today, however, I want to read an excerpt where he talks about the franchise phenomenon and how, what does that have to do with you as a small business owner? So let me preface it with this statement to you. Just because you are a solo entrepreneur or a small business owner or a part-time small business owner, or even moonlighting for that matter of fact, it does not matter how small you are. It's important for you to understand that you have to run and structure your company, and you have to create a system for your company to work. So as I read this information to you about the franchise phenomenon, I want you to think about your company and what you could be doing to better structure your business, to better systemize your business, okay? I am reading from Chapter 7, The Turnkey Revolution, page 80, from the book The E-Myth Revisited by business expert and author Michael Gerber. He says, it all started in 1952 when a 52-year-old salesman walked into a hamburger stand in San Bernardino, California, to sell the two brothers who owned it a milkshake machine. What he saw there, however, was a miracle. At least that's how Ray Kroc, the milkshake machine salesman, might have described it, for he had never seen anything like that very first McDonald's, later to become McDonald's hamburger. It worked like a Swiss watch. Hamburgers were produced in a way he'd never seen before, quickly, efficiently, inexpensively, and identically. Best of all, anyone could do it. He watched high school kids working with precision under the supervision of the owner, happily responding to the long lines of customers queued up in front of the stand. It became apparent to Ray Kroc that what the McDonald brothers had created was not just another hamburger stand, but literally a money machine. Soon after that first visit, and possessed by a passion he had never felt quite like that before, Ray Kroc convinced Mac and Jim McDonald to let him franchise their method. Okay, now pay attention to this, because he was impressed with the way everything was systemized, okay? He was impressed with the fact that everything was working like a well-oiled machine. So this is when he had his aha moment. 12 years and several million hamburgers later, he bought them out and went on to create the largest retail prepared food distribution system in the world. The most successful small business in the world, that's what McDonald's calls itself today, and for good reason, because the success of McDonald's is truly staggering. Think about it. In less than 40 years, Ray Kroc's McDonald's has become a $40 billion a year business with 28,707 restaurants worldwide and growing in number every minute, serving food to more than 43 million people every day in 120 countries, representing more than 10% of the gross restaurant receipts in America. The average McDonald's restaurant produces more than $2 million in annual sales and is more profitable than almost any other retail business in the world, with an average 17% pre-tax net profit. But Ray Kroc created much more than just a fantastically successful business. He created the model upon which an entire generation of entrepreneurs have since built their fortune, a model that was the genesis of the franchise phenomenon. It started as a trickle when a few entrepreneurs began to experiment with Kroc's formula for success. But it wasn't long before the trickle turned into Niagara Falls. And in 2000, there were 320,000 franchise businesses in 75 industries. Franchises produced $1 trillion in sales each year. Almost 50% of every retail dollar spent in our nation has more than 8 million full and part-time people, the largest employer of high school youth in the country's economy. But the genius of McDonald's isn't franchising itself. The franchise has been around, you see, for more than 100 years. Many companies, such as Coca-Cola and General Motors among them, have utilized franchising as an effective method of distribution to reach broadly expanding markets inexpensively. The true genius of Ray Kroc's McDonald's is, however, the business format franchise. It is the business format franchise that has revolutionized American business. It is the business format franchise with one new franchise opening its doors every 8 minutes of every single business day that has spawned so much of success of the franchise phenomenon over the past 40 years. And according to studies conducted by the U.S. Commerce Department from 1971 to 1987, less than 5% of franchises have been terminated on an annual basis, or 25% in 5 years. Compare that statistic to the fact that more than 80% failure rate of independently owned businesses are there, and you can immediately understand the power of the turnkey revolution in our economy and the contribution that the business format franchise has made to it and the future success of your business. Now, what does all this have to do with a small business? And so I'm going to take a quick break from the excerpt just to again point out something to you, and especially to those of you that have just joined us on Successful Woman Radio. I'm reading an excerpt to you about the franchise system is because it is such a successful system. It isn't the actual franchise itself that's so successful as much as it is the system in which franchises use. Listen to this. Back to the excerpt. He says, the early franchise businesses, many of which still exist today, were called trade name franchises. Under the system, the franchisor licenses the right to small companies to market its nationally known products locally. But the business format franchise moves a step beyond the trade name franchise. You see, the business format franchise not only lends its name to the smaller enterprise, but it also provides the franchisee with an entire system of doing business. And in that difference lies the true significance of the turnkey revolution and its phenomenal success. The turnkey revolution in the business format franchise were born of a belief that runs counter to what most business founders in this country believe. Most business founders believe that the success of a business resides in the success of the product it sells. Pay close attention to this, ladies. Again, he states, most business founders believe that the success of a business resides in the success of the product it sells. To the trade name franchisor, however, the value of the franchise lies in the value of the brand name that it is licensing, such as Cadillac, Mercedes, Coca-Cola, and so on. There was a time when that belief was true, but it isn't anymore. In a world where brand names proliferate like snowflakes in a Minnesota blizzard, it becomes more and more difficult and infinitely more expensive to establish a secure position with a brand name and expect to keep it. As a result, trade name franchises have been declining over the same period that franchising in general has been exploding at an unprecedented rate. It is the business format franchise that has accounted for that growth. Now, why is that? He says it's because the business format franchise is built on the belief that the true product of a business is not what it sells, but how it sells it. And keep that in mind, because therein you actually have a part of the success principle to start growing your company. Again, he says, the business format franchise is built on the belief that the true product of the business is not what it sells, but how it sells it. So the success of your business could be not what the product or the service it is, but how you are selling it. Perhaps that's why you might not have seen results in your business. You're too worried about the product instead of worrying about how it is being sold. The true product of a business, he says, is the business itself. What Ray Kroc understood at McDonald's was that the hamburger wasn't his product, McDonald's was. And he believed that for a most important reason. Ray Kroc was the consummate entrepreneur, and like most entrepreneurs, he suffered from one major liability. He had a huge dream and very little money. Enter the franchisee. The franchisee became the vehicle for Ray Kroc to realize his dream. At that point, Ray Kroc began to look at his business as the product and at the franchisee as his first, last, and most important customer. But the franchisee wasn't interested in hamburgers or french fries or milkshakes. He was interested in the business itself. Driven by his desire to buy a business, the franchisee only wanted to know one thing: does it work? Ray Kroc's most important concern then became how to make certain, okay, his business would work better than any other. If McDonald's was to fulfill the dream he had for it, the franchisee would have to be willing to buy it. And the only way Ray Kroc could assure himself that, you know, of that was to make certain that McDonald's worked better than any of the other business products around. At the outset, Ray Kroc wasn't just competing with other hamburger businesses, he was competing with every other business opportunity around. But there was a second reason that Ray Kroc had for making certain McDonald's would work. Given the failure rate of most small businesses, he must have realized a crucial fact. For McDonald's to be a predictable success, the business would have to work because the franchisee, if left to his own devices, most assuredly wouldn't. Once he understood this, Ray Kroc's problem became his opportunity. Forced to create a business that worked in order to sell it, he also created a business that would work once it was sold, no matter who bought it. Armed with that realization, he set about the task of creating a foolproof, predictable business, a systems-dependent business, not a people-dependent business, right? A business that could work without him. Unlike most small business owners before him, and since, Ray Kroc went to work on his business and not in it. He began to think about his business like an engineer working on a pre-production prototype of a mass-producible product. He began to re-engineer McDonald's decades before the word and the process came into fashion. He began to think about McDonald's just like Henry Ford must have thought about the Model T. How could the components of the prototype be constructed so that it could be assembled at a very low cost with totally interchangeable parts? How could the components be constructed so that the resulting business system could be replicated over and over again, each business working just like that Model T? So what Ray Kroc did was to apply the thinking behind the Industrial Revolution to the process of business development, and to that degree, never before experienced in the business enterprise world. The business as a product will only sell if it worked. And the only way to make certain it would work in the hands of a franchisee anywhere in the world would be to build out a perfectly predictable component that could be tested in a prototype long before ever going to mass production. Therein lies the secret behind the stunning success of the business format franchise, the launching pad for the turnkey revolution. And so I'm going to stop right there, and now with my own experience of understanding this and having applied it, I just want to tell you what I've just read, which is Michael Gerber is sharing with you that one of the things that he discovered from looking at Ray Kroc, from looking at McDonald's and the franchise system, and why the franchise system all of a sudden exploded and became so successful, was because anyone could purchase a franchise, but the system had already been created for them to follow. So It could be a business owner who didn't know anything about a business, and they could walk in and follow the directions of the franchise, put the system in place, and it could work. And that is why the franchise became so successful. I mean, think about it. We have various ethnicities coming into America purchasing different franchises, you know, from Asians to Hispanics, from Germans, from Indians, Africans. All types of cultures have come to the United States in search of and in looking of for a better opportunity. And the franchise has been hands down the number one, okay, thing that they are looking for. Why? Because they don't know anything about running a business. They want to come to America and they want to find something that they can invest their money in that has been a proven system. And that is why the franchise is so very, very attractive to most people who have money. They want to invest in something. They want to start a small business, but they don't know anything about it. Now, what does this have to do with you? It has a lot to do with you, because what I'm sharing with you today is that the success of your business could very well depend on the fact that you must systemize your business, okay? You must make sure that you have created a system. So even if you are not around, someone could step into your shoes and run your company. If your business is totally dependent just upon you, then when you're sick or when you're procrastinating or when you don't want to do something, the business is not going to work. Everybody, no matter how small your company is, must have a system to work their business. You must know what needs to be done every day, every week, every quarter, every year. You must know your marketing recipe. That is so very, very important. And this is what Michael Gerber is talking about in revolutionizing your business, is that you first must understand the three most important roles that must be played in your company, and then you must go about and set out not only to play those roles until you're able to relinquish them to others, but you must also develop a system or a strategy for the way your business should be working every day. And then you must continuously fine-tune it so that it becomes a well-oiled machine, manufacturing results day after day that are going to help you make a profit, right? And that is what you want for your small business. So whether you're in a traditional business, whether you are in a multi-level marketing business, a direct sales company, whether you're working at part-time or full-time, it doesn't really matter. What you must understand is that you must, number one, work on your business instead of in your business. Number two, that it's not about the brand as much as it is about the system that you are utilizing to make your business more successful, okay? And number three, your business, okay, needs to have a CEO that is more concerned with working on the business, and that CEO must realize that even if he or she is not in, you know, available for that business, that that business can continue to go on should another CEO be hired. You see, that is really when you know that you're ready to grow and you're really ready to walk into the fullness of being a responsible CEO, you'll know it because you're ready to create a system. You're ready to develop a system, and you're no longer going to think of yourself as just a small business, but you're going to think of yourself as building your empire, building generational wealth, building something that's very, very important to you. Okay, and this is why franchising is so important to the micro business owner, the home business owner, because of the system that it can provide, because of the uniformity that it can provide. You don't have to franchise your business, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to go out and franchise your business, but what I am saying and suggesting is just as Michael Gerber did in his book, The E-Myth Revisited, is every small business needs to be put in a system. Every small business that's successful must have a successful system that can work without the owner, okay, if it is to be extremely successful. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed that part. And again, I definitely want to encourage you to get the book, the e-myth, revisit it. But at this time, as a prize, the first four callers, again, the first four callers that can press star one on their phone keypad will receive a PDF copy of the summary of the book, The E-Myth Revisited. Again, a PDF copy of the summary of the book, The E-Myth Revisited. Now, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't get your own personal copy of the book itself, but the PDF summary will definitely help you to understand the book better. It will definitely give you some food for thought. So the first four callers who press star one on their phone keypad right now will receive their very own copy of the PDF version, the summary for the E-Myth Revisited. In the meantime, I am going to go ahead and share with you some information on a topic that I think is just so very, very important, and that is your social networking working? Now, what is social networking? So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way right now. Social networking is the art of connecting with niche groups or individuals online through social networks, live chats, forums, and so on. It is connecting, and so connecting is the key word because it is so very, very important to understand that that is the catalyst for social networking. It is connecting with other individuals. However, what is it that home-based business owners and micro-business owners are expecting from social networking? What is it? And what are the most important elements of social networking? Well, I'm going to give you that in just a few minutes. But first, I'm going to go ahead and take a couple of our callers who have pressed star one, and I will go ahead first and let you know that you're live on the air. Your last four of your phone number is 7938. Again, 7938. You are live on the air. Go ahead and give us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Deborah Adderley, and I'm calling from Snellville, Georgia.
Well, how are you today, Deborah?
I'm doing wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Deborah, you just won yourself a copy of the book summary for the E-Myth Revisited, and we'll give you a call after the show to confirm your email. Are you enjoying the show today?
I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. You'll be getting a call right after the show to confirm your email, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Uh-huh. And again, we have room for about two more callers. If you'd like to press star one on your phone to claim one of the PDF prizes, and it is a summary of the book, The E-Myth Revisited. I see that we have someone whose last four is 3860. 3860, you're live. Give us your name and the city you're calling from. You are live on the air if the last four of your phone is 3860. Caller, are you there?
And as I look,
Lauren as well.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
And as I look at it,
okay. Well, apparently that caller didn't realize that they were live on the air. We have space enough for two more winners, so you are more than welcome to give us a call or to go ahead and press star one on your phone, and you'll be brought live on the air, and you'll be able to claim your prize. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead and move back to talking about, is your social networking working? And as I said before, social networking is the art of connecting with niche groups or individuals online through social networks, live chats, forums, and so on. And, of course, we know that the three most popular are Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. However, there are hundreds of other social networks that are out there. But what is it that home-based and micro-business owners are expecting from social networking? Well, in talking with a lot of you, I get the feeling that you're thinking that you're supposed to automatically get business right away, that you're supposed to be able to post about your product or your service, and that that's going to get individuals knocking on your virtual door. That's just not the case, okay? And I want to clear that up. First of all, here's what you need to understand. Social networking online is pretty much the same as networking offline. Okay, live networking and social networking are the same. It's just a different environment that you're having to deal with. And so what I want to do is parallel the two, because I think pretty much that business women have false beliefs about both of them, false beliefs about what live networking is supposed to do and false beliefs about what social networking is supposed to do. So I'm going to parallel the two for just a couple of minutes here, okay? So with live networking, while you're at a networking event and you're receiving business cards, you really cannot expect to receive business that day, okay? The same goes for social networking on the internet. You can't expect to receive business just because you're posting that you have a sale, or putting a link up on your site, you know, for someone to go to a sales page. You can't expect to get results that quickly, okay? So the two are the same in that manner. Now, just in live networking, as follow-up is key, after you attend a live networking event, you're supposed to follow up with an individual so that you can better understand, okay, if that person is a good candidate as a prospect, and so that you can learn about who they are and what their business is all about, because you might need their service. The same thing goes with social networking. Just because you friend somebody, it seems to be on the social networking side that the name of the game is to get as many people to be your friend as possible, but then nothing happens after that. Well, that is where the problem lies, because if you're going to befriend someone on a social network, you still have the responsibility of connecting with that individual in many ways. It could be through inviting them for a 10-minute one-on-one live phone chat to discuss what each of you do and how you might be able to help or support one another, okay? Or it could be, you know, you sending them, private messages through the social network and sharing information about who you are and asking them to let you learn a little bit more about who they are and what they do. In other words, it's trying to find the commonalities. It's trying to break the ice so that you can be assured that the people that you're connecting with know something about you and who you are, which is so very, very important, okay? So the two are very similar because the same thing is supposed to be happening offline and online in the same manner, okay? Now, with that said, social networking online can only work for you if you do what you're supposed to be doing from a marketing standpoint anyway, which is developing a social networking strategy, okay? There is no such thing as a small business owner who wants to see results in social networking going on and posting anything and everything and then expecting results. Or how about this? Because this is something that's done quite often. You're really needing sales for your business, and you're desperate to get some sales because you're low on money, the money is not coming in, and you've got bills to pay for your small business. So you're thinking, oh, social networking is the answer. So if I go and flood the internet with posts about buy this product or what have you, somebody's bound to click on it and purchase. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. I've yet to meet anybody who's having that kind of success from social networking. Just like offline and offline live networking, a relationship must be cultivated. And how you cultivate a relationship through social networking is, number one, make sure that you have joined the right groups, okay? Make sure that you have joined the right groups. And I should preface that with saying, make sure that you're involved in the right social network, first of all, because you need to understand wherever your target market resides, wherever those people hang out at, that's the social network you need to be on. And then you need to make sure that you narrow it down by joining groups on social networking sites of where your target market is, you know, hangs out at in particular groups. So it's the groups that people can get to know you better in social networking than just you posting a lot of information, on your social profile page and hoping that it gets out. is joining the groups, which is so very, very important, okay? And it's also making relevant and timely comments and posts and sharing resources and tools that's going to get you noticed. And I don't know how many times that needs to be said, but I'm saying it again. It's all about relevancy. It's all about you being consistent, and it's all about you developing relationships over a period of time. And it's not about you having a pink flat jacket mentality and thinking that just because you post something with a link going back to your sales page that someone is supposed to purchase from you. Think about it. How many times do you actually do that? You know, that you actually go and purchase something from somebody online without really knowing who they are, without being familiar with the brand or what the brand provides or sales, right? So why would you expect someone else to do that for with you? So that is why you need to have a strategy. And we just got through reading an excerpt from the book, The E-Myth, and talking about the importance of a system. But let's bring that system concept right on into social networking, because social networking is considered today a very important part of your marketing strategy or your marketing technique. So just like you don't put just one egg in a basket, you should have multiple ways you are marketing your business, and social networking is just one of them, okay? With that said, it's important for you to have a strategy. So I think the three most important elements of social networking are these. Number one, your social profile. If you are indeed working on your social networking for the purpose of attracting new customers, new clients, then it has everything to do with your social profile. You know, from the elementary part of creating your profile to the more advanced parts, social profiles are very, very important. If you go on a social network and you ask somebody to become your friend and you haven't even built out your social profile, then the first thing that person, if they are a savvy social networker, the first thing they're going to realize is that you're inexperienced altogether in networking, period, whether it's offline or online, because you didn't realize the most important part of it, which is to make sure that your profile is completed. Okay, nothing gets under my skin more than to have someone invite me to be their friend on a social network, and they have no social profile. So you know what I decided? I don't do it. I don't befriend anyone. I don't say yes, I'll be your friend to anybody who doesn't have a social profile built out. That's just what I believe it should be. And if they are a Women About Biz member and they're asking me and they haven't built their profile, I simply and politely ask them, please complete your profile. Please upload your picture and let me know who you are and let the members know who you are. So the first thing, the first of the three elements of social networking that you've got to get down pat is building your social profile, okay? Now, in building your social profile, you also must remember, and this is very important, ladies, you must remember that you're not trying to tell the whole history of your business and why someone should purchase from you. You just want to have a short paragraph to say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I'm passionate about, and this is what I do, and I'd love to connect with you. That's all you're trying to do. And then you want to upload a professional picture, okay? The second of the most important element of social networking is consistent posting, okay? And this is really where creating a system comes into play, because in order to have consistent posting, that means that you must schedule time to research and know the type of content you want to have on your social posting, okay? It means that you're going to put some effort into developing a system and prove yourself to be an expert in your field. That's what it means, okay? And then the third most important element of social networking is building credibility, okay?
And building credibility has a lot to do with how you post on the internet and through the social networks. It also has a lot to do with how you extend the right hand of fellowship to someone who's asking a question and you may have the answer for it, and simply helping them, which is so very, very important. I saw something recently on one of the groups on the social network where someone was asking a question. And instead of the person answering the question, they basically said, I can answer that question for you. I offer consultation at the rate of $125 an hour. Please connect with me. And I thought, wait a minute. Why are they trying to sell their service before the person actually understands who they are? And I realized that, you know, this person didn't understand what social networking was all about, because what they should have done was to briefly answer the question and then say, to learn more, I'd love to give you a complimentary consult on the topic, and to have them to connect with them. Do you know how many people would have probably also requested a complimentary consult, which would then have led to building the relationship and so on? So building credibility is very important, but you must understand you must give to get. And in social networking, it's not all about the sale right away. So while this is, again, a technique that's going to require time for you to build your system, you've got to start understanding that nothing is fast and all of a sudden going to give you quick sale. Okay, this is the first rudimentary part of understanding business. Business is all about being proactive and doing things ahead of time and developing a strong system and getting consistent with it. And once you get consistent with what your marketing strategies are going to be, then you'll start gradually seeing results. And then once you realize that you shouldn't stop, that you should continue on, then the results become consistent. And while others on the outside might look at it and say, this person is getting quick results every single day, and they're thinking that you're doing it just because you're posting links, they don't know the hard work behind the scenes that you've been consistent with it all along. So keep in mind that you must know what you are looking for from social networking before you can even develop your strategy. Know what you should be able to expect based off of your industry, based off of your industry reports about social networking. Maybe you need to go through a discovery phase and look at it just a little bit more. So I hope this has helped you to understand social networking a little bit more, and I hope that I have given you a different side of it to look at. Again, I want to encourage you that if you have not scheduled a power talk before with me, that you're welcome to do so. Simply go to www.womenaboutbiz.com, and in the top right menu bar, click on Coaching Center, and once you're on that page, look over in that right-hand column and click on Schedule Power Talk. That's how you can get to me, okay? I look so forward to talking to and connecting with all of you through our Women About Biz social network. And, of course, if you've never joined Women About Biz before, make sure you visit us at womenaboutbiz.com and learn about all of the wonderful benefits available to you through our network. Our private social network has approximately more than 2,500 plus women that are on there, and women for you to connect with, to build relationships with, to demonstrate your expertise with. So again, I want to encourage you to definitely look at being a part of our private social network at Women About Biz. Well, that's all I have for today. I hope you are enjoying this month's theme on becoming internet savvy. And I want to encourage you to visit our radio website, successfulwomanradio.com. Here's to having a productive week. And remember, don't forget to practice your one-hour gift every single day. Take care, and again, have an abundant and productive week.